Hello, and thanks for listening to Grip the Sluts, a podcast about nothing. This is the episode one addendum, an opportunity for me to talk more about and expand upon some of the things I spoke about in the main episode. And the plan is that an addendum will follow most main episodes. Okay, so first things first. I want to speak a little more about my shamanism, as it felt a little lacking in episode one. Make no mistake though, this isn't a podcast about that. I just find it helpful to relate the experiences that form the basis for some of the things I discuss. Anyway, so this all began some about 16, 17 years ago. A lifetime ago, really. And by the way, I'm pretty guarded about this stuff for myriad reasons. Some are probably pretty obvious, and some will forever remain a mystery to you, dearest listener. I've actually been thinking for some years to write a book about this whole thing. So that may happen one day, and if not, I'll just take it all to my grave. Okay, so some 16, 17 years ago, I started to be able to do things. And the things I started to be able to do were very strange, and it seemed to me as though no one else was like me. I felt really alien, and it was like I was a divergence or something. And I will say that those things were largely of a mystical nature. So I explored, and over the course of the next few years, my abilities and insights increased. And it was during this time that I started to apply those things to helping other people, in addition to myself, of course. So helping other people through divination is a basic way of putting it, but it's all actually pretty complex. And so it was, doing my thing, living life, questing, and helping others. Things were a bit strange, but that's life, right? It was sometime after this first few years that I ended up on the Wikipedia page for shamanism, for whatever reason. And so I was reading through it and checking off all these things that I had been doing for years now. It was mind-blowing to me. It was a revelation, and actually quite comforting to know that there's actually a word for it. The practice itself might not seem sane or rational to people, ignorant folk and the like, but it's a real thing that people other than myself do and have been doing for a very long time now. So there I was. I finally knew what I was. Not the only thing I was, but I had a word for the mystical activities. And you know, shaman may not even be the most precise word. I'm sure if I researched all the types of mystics in the world, some other practice may be more accurate. But, you know, that's beside the point. Shaman will do, as it's only a label used to describe a set of things that a person does. And I fit into that label. I very rarely ever refer to myself as a shaman, by the way. Anyway, so I knew I wasn't crazy, and the reinforcement of the fact I wasn't special was a nice bonus. This is also why I talk about the convergence of spiritual practice in isolation. It's still kind of crazy to me that I naturally became this thing without being trained or educated, taught anything at all. And I really do love that because it confirms for me that there's absolutely something to it. All these people from all these other cultures doing similar things, there's something to it for sure. And you know, still, I don't even know how one becomes a shaman in these other cultures. It's never been relevant to me, so I never even bothered to find out. Other than that, I'm super stoked that I became this thing naturally. Still amazes me to this day, even with my intense study of causality. And on a related note, it wasn't too long ago that I was speaking with someone who seemed to think being a shaman is simply a hat you can put on and take off, and it absolutely isn't. So I was very quick to dispel what appeared to be that person's will to start calling themselves a shaman just because people do that. Maybe not this person, but yeah, people do that sort of thing and try and make money from it. Look at me, I'm a shaman, it's special, give me attention, feed me money. Sorry folks, it's not that simple. When I said I pained and suffered for many years in episode 1, what I meant was I pained and suffered in the process of evolving into a shaman, gaining abilities and knowledge. There is so much you go through to learn and practice, and it comes at a tremendous mental, physical, and spiritual cost. Worth it, absolutely worth every moment. No regrets on my end, I wouldn't change a thing, but it takes a lot. And on a very basic level, working yourself into certain altered states can, at times, be an ordeal. And depending on what exactly you're trying to do, such a thing can take days. This process for me, again, depending on what you're, you know, what's to be done, usually involves days of fasting, days of isolation, and you're very vulnerable during this process. And when you're doing it for the nearly sole benefit of another, it's a lot. It really is. One of the other ways I suffer is that over the past, whatever, 16 years or so, I've chosen to live outside on and off for about half that time. Something I don't readily tell people, and I hate telling you now, because I always feel as though the immediate thought is that I was what society calls a homeless person. You know, the typical filthy, smelly, drug and alcohol destroyed, mentally ill munter. I was not that. Clean clothes and a shower most days, a mattress pillow and a feather duvet to sleep on for a large part of it. A little more sophisticated than the average bear. It might seem strange to you, though, choosing to live outside, especially that at any moment I could find housing. Pretty easy where I live, even though we do have a housing shortage. There's always rooms for rent all over the place, no issues. And at times when I'd had enough, when I felt like a bit of comfort, that's exactly what I do. I'd go live somewhere for a bit. There's also a lot to be said about breathing clean, fresh air all the time. I miss it, and living inside takes some getting used to in that respect. So the reasons now. There's many, but I'm talking about suffering to practice and suffering for evolution. The painful reality is that regular interaction with the same people, living a routine, etc., is stifling to my personal growth and my personal spiritual evolution. And this is why I don't like to know people for long periods of time. I actually think this is part of a larger subject anyway, as it seems to me that pretty early on in life, people become content with who they are and grow very little over the course of their lives from that point. And interacting with the same people all the time, living a routine and things of that nature, keep people strapped into being the same person, the same old person forever. This is one of the reasons why leaving the world of people to be on my own was extremely valuable. Absolutely no way, if I'm alive, would I want to die and keep breathing. Routine and repetition is brain death. It certainly would be at least a chapter in my book talking about what happened while living with others when I began this rapid mental and spiritual evolution right at the start of my shamanic journey. I learned more about people during that time than I had up until that point. And in the same way that people want to operate the predictable world and get the results they expect, people also want to operate other people for the results they expect. And when you're evolving, your interactions, your responses change. When a person tries to operate you and the result returned is different from what they expect or what they were after, well, they get mad, don't they? Often, they get mad. The person, obviously lacking in cognitive function, will, instead of looking within, look outward for the cause of the problem. Of course, there are levels of people. This is not all people, but certainly most in my experience. And this is another one of those common attributes of human nature. But good news, you can evolve beyond this. People are often too stupid and or not introspective or analytical enough to understand their own interactions and are happy to restrict your evolution in order to make their life better or easier or whatever. So anyway, the choice to live outside often was to give myself the freedom to grow, to evolve and to explore new things unrestrained. Of course, I did interact with people during this time, just not every day and not all the time. And I'm very self-effacing. I dress the same way every day, plainly. All my clothes are just copies of all my other clothes. All part of a greater strategy to prevent people from knowing anything about me at all. Unless I want them to, of course. I guess the cat is a bit out of the bag now, though. Anyway, during these outside periods, I was growing, I was learning, I was becoming, and helping people as a shaman along the way. It's also worth saying that it doesn't feel as though there's any place for shamanism anywhere near the mainstream around here. There's no room for European mysticism. Recently, I learned that if you meet a specific criteria, you can make stuff up and have the government subsidize your phony mysticism, your invented spiritual practice, unashamedly rinsing the taxpayer for nonsense just because you tick a certain box. Now, of course, there's a lot more to that, and even phony mysticism isn't all bad if it actually helps someone. It's just super unethical, in my view, and the way this particular thing is set up is more than a bit gross. And yeah, this is just some gripe that I have. Phony mystics and shysters rub me the wrong way. And here I am, an authentic person, and there's no place for me around here. That might sound a little bitter, but it's not. I've lived every single moment of my life, and I want for nothing. But I digress. I really do plan on ending talk about being a shaman. It's not what this podcast is about. It's just an itch I had to scratch since episode 1 was a bit lacking on this subject, and this is what the addenda episodes are for. So, continuing on talking about suffering for shamanism, I have to tell you that a part of the suffering that comes from the journey is that you have to, if you're intelligent, go to no end scrutinizing your experiences as much as you can. You must intensely scrutinize absolutely everything. And oh man, I can imagine what would happen to the mind if this is not done. This is probably the foundation for a great many mental illnesses. I'm happy to tell you, dearest listener, I've never suffered any mental health issues, and I'm positive my mental health is excellent. Because I take care of my mind. I also do the exotic things a bit less now since being diagnosed with MS, trying not to tax myself too much since my brain is turning to custard, so they say. I also rarely ever drink alcohol and don't take drugs. All this to say that I do make a conscious effort to avoid damaging my mind, and I'm hypervigilant with that, more than anything else in this world. And admittedly, it can be very difficult to separate fact from fiction sometimes, especially when it's all crazy sounding, even to me, which is where the endless scrutiny comes in. And it shouldn't surprise you to know that it's also of some comfort that there are other people in this world that know some of what I can do, some of what I've done, as they've been involved. They've been the beneficiaries of certain abilities, and some people I've even taken with me. I've shown people things. And I'm not going to lay all of that out in this podcast, as again, these are things that I may put forth in a book one day, and this isn't what this podcast is ultimately about. Let me give you an example of an experience I had that was totally wild, completely insane, while I'm trying to talk about scrutinizing experiences and suffering. Because this is a pretty easy one to explain, rather than being, you know, one of the mountain of indescribable experiences I've had. So this happened in 2013, during about a 9-month period where I existed entirely in a particular altered state of consciousness. This was a truly magical time for me, and it was always my goal to exist in this state full-time since I first experienced it. It was my goal to have it be my default. Well, I got there in 2013, but it turns out that this is impractical. With the way that humans currently are, or at least where I currently am with the humans that surround me. I would absolutely love to exist in this particular state full time. It just requires being somewhere free from the possibility of attack, free from the grubby, overbearing hands of the state, especially. A house tucked away on some forested hill somewhere sounds nice. Anyway, so this was, without question, the single most important period of my life, and, ironically, it would have never happened if not for the evil deeds of others. So I guess that backfired. I could speak about all the things that happened during this time endlessly, but I want to focus on a single experience because it illustrates what I've been saying about scrutinizing and suffering. So one day during this time, I walk into the library, lifted by this altered state, truly existing above and beyond it all. I had a look around and I picked a book up from the shelf. Then the most insane thing happened. Looking down at this book in my hands, I suddenly knew the entire book. It was as though I read the whole book just by holding it, or as though I had written it. This was completely crazy, absolutely insane. I picked up a few more books, and the experience was the same. I was completely overwhelmed by the fourth book. This experience was crazy, completely nuts, total insanity. It was so overwhelming and even a bit frightening. I can say that I probably let that nagging fear get the better of me, as I felt as though I was either going to go insane or that I was about to transcend the physical form, or die, as you might say. I was even afraid that maybe I was becoming too powerful even, which in retrospect is a very stupid fear to have, but given other circumstances at the time, super, super rational. So I walked away. I was totally confounded by what had just happened. It was completely insane. It wasn't possible. And yet it happened. Did this impossible thing just happen? Did it really just happen? I spent some days and weeks contemplating this experience. I'd be meditating on it, searching my mind, searching my memory for some answers, some explanation of how this insane thing appeared to have happened. As far as I could tell, there was no explanation for it. The only rational explanation was that, reaching out in my altered state, I had gained this ability. The ability to draw down information from a source that, of course, doesn't exist. I'm now more familiar with that source due to subsequent contact, by the way. That said, at the time, I truly didn't understand how this was possible, how this happened, and so after some weeks of intense scrutiny, I decided my best course was to attempt to repeat the experience. Something you have to do with a lot of things, as part of the validation process, by the way. So, working myself into an amplified level of this altered state, I made my way back into the library. I really didn't know if this was going to work, but I suspected it would. I trusted it would. And what do you know? Book after book picked up and downloaded in an instant. Wild, totally insane, very overwhelming, but very real. In this, you can have a better understanding of what I mean when I say scrutinizing experiences. I absolutely pored over this whole thing for weeks. I considered absolutely everything I could, deeply meditating on this experience. I measured everything against all other knowledge and experience. It's a long process, but a necessary one. It takes a lot of time and energy. This is one of the ways that a person like me suffers, and it's what I refer to often when I'm talking about suffering. Not the only thing, because you suffer through the process of scrutinizing. You suffer the energy expenditure and the doubt. You suffer the logical thoughts on the implications. You suffer all the fear and worry, all the very real possible consequences. And this should give you a better sense as to why I've always operated in secret. There are very real possible consequences for simply being different, unusual, strange. And even with all of that said, I'm not doing this whole process any justice at all. It's a lot. But you should understand it is a process and a very taxing one, one you must obsess over to squeeze absolutely everything you can out of. Seeing how the pieces fit in all the ways you can possibly think is such an extreme task. But one you do to make sure you're not going insane, to make sure you're not delusional, and to evolve and add new ways of thinking. I'm very conscious of how all this may sound to you, by the way. It might sound like I'm asking you to participate in my delusions, but the truth is, it doesn't matter to me if you think this is some grand delusion. I don't require anyone else to validate my experiences. And all this is a part of being an authentic and organic being. I don't need what's fake or generated out of thin air or is otherwise meaningless to prop me up. That is delusion. And on a related note, it's also worth saying that I am often delighted by seeing examples of some of the things I've been able to do in fiction. And I contemplate this sometimes. You see, the examples in fiction are most often exaggerated versions of the very real things that I've done. So I really do wonder if the real world has informed these fictions. Some way, somehow, have these things I know to be real been floating around in human consciousness? Do they get expressed in people's imaginations? Do they get exaggerated from real experiences? Seems fairly likely. I do wonder, though. There's also the source I mentioned earlier to consider. But that's all by the by. Pretty easy for me to wander off on tangents because it's all connected. And when I say all, there's so, so much. And the thought of trying to put it all together is daunting. It's a gargantuan task. Not what I'm trying to do here, but I'm filled with a sense of foreboding when considering writing a book. So look, that's a bit more about some of the ways I suffer practicing, suffer to grow and evolve. And on the topic of some of the indescribable experiences I've had, the ones unlike the one I just spoke about, which I had no trouble recounting, I think these are possibly the result of another sense. Some of these indescribable things. Another sense that human evolution may be in the middle of developing. Because that's what it's like. It's like having a sense that you don't understand and struggle to interpret and process. It wouldn't surprise me at all if this evolutionary biology angle is correct. Humans, or some group of humans that I belong to, could be in the process of developing other senses. That explanation makes perfect sense to me. Not saying it's the case, but it's a rational explanation, and one that can easily be supported by science. I may at some point look into other people's thoughts and experiences because it'd be interesting to know what others think about it. This is, of course, just talking about a portion of experiences, not all of them, by a long way. Food for thought, though. And speaking about what others think, I looked it up. Physicists and philosophers apparently call it the Big Crunch. That is what I said about the possibility that the universe infinitely cycles through collapse and expansion. I haven't read into it because it's something that I've thought about on my own anyway, but I got curious for a moment and had a look around. And yep, they call it the Big Crunch. So there you go. And that's not a big deal, as it was just a thought I used as a tool for making an unrelated point. Now remember, take my assertions with a grain of salt. Makes no difference to me. What you think or think about me doesn't change what I think at all. That's not to say I don't respect what you think. It's only to say that I've evolved beyond the need for external validation, evolved beyond letting what anyone else says to me or about me affect me adversely. That is personal evolution. Now back to my best one. Beating up on organized religion, and using assertions to do it, for efficiency's sake. I actually just wanted to say that Christianity is a false god. Almost no doubt in my mind. The point I'm trying to make is to say that I'm very anti-Christian because of all we've lost, because of Christianity. Now, various flavors of Christianity would like to paint the conversion and proliferation of Christianity as peaceful and fruitful, and yet it was anything but. What we lost through what was often the forced conversion to Christianity is all our old spiritual practices. They do still exist, though. They're still accessible. I'll explain more about that another time, maybe, but yes, Christianity came along and all but murdered the richness of European spiritual practices. I can say without any doubt, though, that our paganism was closer to God than Christianity has ever or will ever be. Of course, I wouldn't be here without Christianity, and of course, Christianity helped to streamline Europe and enabled faster evolution. So yes, strong and very real pro-Christian arguments exist and are valid. Not really my point, though. I just wanted to express my sense of loss for our old ways, and the old ways were, without question, closer to God than Christianity has ever or will ever be. Beating up on religion. I'm all about it sometimes. So we lost so much richness when we were forced out of the old ways. And what has that left us with today? Christianity casts a giant shadow over the Western world. It suffocates and leaves no room for European mysticism. Being a shaman and having a brain and a personality aren't mutually exclusive, as you can see. So I'm pretty happy to beat up on the things that are busted, such as Christianity. And remember, being a shaman is not all that I am, so yep. And I just want to acknowledge what I hope is a conspicuous omission in what I've just said about Christianity. The conspicuously omitted logic. I say this with a nod and a wink just so you know that I know. And the reason for the omission is that it's going to be the subject of an entire episode in future. So there we go. Episode 1, addendum, done and done. Words have been said, itches have been scratched, and I hope you've gained a better understanding of what's up. And let's not forget, you know nothing. I know nothing. So until next time, dearest listener, don't forget to grow. Thank you.